Good morning to each one here this morning. I too greet you in Jesus' name. Blessing to be with you all here again today. Thank you for those of you who have been praying for me over the last days, and I felt the Spirit has moved, and I think He's been moving in the service so far, and it's just amazing how He does orchestrate the whole service and brings it together, as Brother Dave has already mentioned. And I feel that what I have to share is maybe nothing extremely new, and yet it fits in well, I believe, with what we have all discussed so far this morning. To start out the message of the morning, you can turn in your Bibles a while to John chapter 4. I want to look at one verse here, and from that verse I want to jog our minds and make us think a little bit, and then we're going to go down some of the practical parts of this verse. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I trust that each one here this morning has gathered to worship. And I know we often say that. We say we come together into God's house to worship it, worship him. And just some thoughts and questions that go through my mind. Is Sunday morning the only morning that we worship? Is it the only morning that we can worship, or the only day that we can worship? How do we worship? What do we mean when we actually say that? And I want us to think a little bit about those thoughts, about what does it mean to worship. We've had some very fitting parts of the service already. We talked about in Sunday school about how God is a holy God, and we looked at the God who we are to worship this morning, and we looked, and that is all throughout the Bible, but it was just amazing how in Revelation it just is really revealed as John saw him in heaven and his glory there. So this is the God we are to worship, but how are we supposed to do that? We know that we as humans are created to worship. We're created to worship, and all humans usually worship something. Now, I believe we're called to worship God, but if that is missing in your life, if you're not a Christian, you turn your worship to other things. You look up to, you respect, you honor, you show appreciation for. Maybe it is something that is made by man. Maybe it is a worship of oneself, a worship of one's society or culture. The list can go on, but worship is always happening. You look back through generations, and man has always wanted to worship something. It's something inside that we desire, and God has put it there. But how do we practically do that in our everyday lives as Christians today, in New Testament Christians? What does this mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Well, I think some of that verse there means that the where we are worshiping is not that irrelevant. Where it doesn't have to be only inside this white building that we call a church. It doesn't exactly matter always who is there with you. It doesn't have to be 50 people or 100 people. We know that the other verses in the Bible say that where two or three are gathered together, God will be there. And I believe worship can be happening at that place as well. I think there is a level of worship that needs to happen as an individual between you and God. We need to be worshiping him one-on-one at some point throughout the week. The focus of worship is also not to, the focus of worship is not how it makes us feel. You see, we can fall into that ditch or that trap as well, that we can desire to worship because we come away with this spiritual high or this desire, this good feeling of worshiping God, and we can have a very emotional service. We could come here, or you can go to a different services. I've already been at one where it was in a very emotional service, or, you know, people were lifting holy hands, they were singing loudly, they were marching around the auditorium, and, you know, they probably went away, they probably felt that they had this spiritual high, they were trying to worship God. We don't know their actual heart behind it, but yet, worship is not so much on how it makes us feel, but on what God requires from us. And so, when we come in through these doors on a regular Sunday morning, or we walk out these doors and we just don't feel like we were inspired or we're drawn close to God, I would venture to say that that's maybe more on your part, well, it's definitely more on your part than God's part. And we should maybe not base our worship so much off of the feelings that we receive from it, but what does God require from us? We should not just be, worship should not just not be a pursuit of pleasure that should guide our worship. We all should keep in mind as we talk about these things, the different ways we can worship, that we need to keep in mind that the acts themselves are not worship. The acts are only the way of expressing true worship. If these acts are not in spirit and in truth, they are not expressing worship. And we could look at the verses, or we know how Dave was just talking about some of that in Jesus as he walked on this earth, and the Jewish culture and the leaders of that day, they got tripped up over this. They thought they were going through the acts of worship. They were doing the rituals. They were wearing the right clothes. They were doing the right sacrifices. They were doing many things that, yes, God had asked them, and that was worship to God, but they were doing it with the wrong heart. And today we can do the same thing. We can come in these doors, we can sit on these benches, and we can go down through these list of things that we're going to look at a little more in depth that we would call worship, but if it's not done out of a heart that is in right before God, or a heart that is trying to glorify God, it is just empty and meaningless rituals or acts that we do that do not actually, it's the acts themselves are not worship, but it's the heart, and then that's the way we can express our worship to God. The verse there in Matthew 15, verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And that's what we want to avoid in our lives today as well, that we draw nigh to God with our mouths and with our lips, but yet our heart is far from him. We need to be glorifying God, but we need to be cautious that we do not start doing the acts of worship without a heart and mind that is involved. You can turn in your Bible a while to Psalms 100, verse 2. And I want to look at different passages of Scripture this morning that would show us different ways that we can worship. I think one of the major expressions of worship that we have done some of this morning is seen here in Psalms 100 and verse 2. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." So I believe point number one of worship is that we can worship him through song. I was just very impressed. I had this on my mind, and so I was noticing as we started out the service, and very fitting songs for the morning. There's a whole section in this songbook here. I think from the song 23 to 34, it says, "Call to worship." And a lot of the songs in here, I trust that all of them are worship songs, but some are more dedicated to the worship of God. And the first song we sang was number 32, "Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are all his ways. Honor, no wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat his mercies in your song." And this was written, that song was written in 1719 by Isaac Watts. So people have been writing songs for a long time, even long before 1719, but about praise to God. The song we sang just before the message here this morning was number 8. And that song was written in 2016. "Only a holy God, who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else could make every king bow down? Who else could whisper and darkness tremble? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy forever, a holy God. come and worship the holy God. We have a whole host of songs that we sing that are worship to God. People are still writing songs today about worship to God. And I believe it is very important that our worship would include these songs. Now, if you're like me, too often, because we have been singing these songs repeatedly, we know them by memory, and I can come here on a Sunday morning and give to our God immortal praise. I probably could close the book and about make it through at least the first verse or two. But my tendency is to not look at the words. And I'm afraid that if we do too much of that, I think we can come and be in the spirit of worship. But if we're not thinking about what we're saying, are we drawing nigh to God with our lips but not with our heart? Just a thought to think about, to make sure you know what you're singing. And we challenge each other on this quite often here, and I'm thankful for it. I'm also thankful for the amount of singing we as a congregation do, because I think it is very important as a part of our worship. Just a challenge to each of us to continue to look at the words we're singing and make sure it's coming from our heart and not just a song by memory. And the whole book of Psalms, we're in the book of Psalms here, as I read a verse out of Psalms 100. Throughout the scripture, we see music and song were used to worship the Lord. Most of the book of Psalms are the words of songs of worship to the Lord. We see God praise for who he is, praise for what he has done. We see God acknowledged as the true God. We see God relied on as the only hope. They are expressions of worship that glorify God. And we see those expressions in the songbooks that we have today. And it's why it's important that God is the object of our song. Does it give him the honor and the glory? You can turn a while in your Bibles also to Exodus chapter 14. I think I shouldn't say exactly, I didn't do good enough research on that. This is one of the first times that in the Bible that I think a song is recorded after an event. But Moses and the Israelites, when Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and God destroyed the Egyptians behind them, we know how that they worshipped him with song. And we're going to start there at Exodus 14, verse 29. I'm going to read to Exodus 15, verse 2. Exodus 14, 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And it goes on the whole way down to verse 18, I believe. The song continues. They sang a song. They were saved. They had been delivered. The Lord had delivered them from their oppressors and from the enemy. And they rejoiced in that. They recognized the Lord, the God, who he was and what he had done for them. They worship him in song. They were coming before his presence, and that was very much a way of worship. Go to another story in 2 Chronicles 29. And here, this is Hezekiah, when he became king. They returned to worshiping the Lord, and they worship with music. And I want to start reading 29:27, and I'll read to verse 30. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with them bowed themselves in worship. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of the Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their head, and they worshiped. We'll stop reading there. This was another time that singing was used as worship. They bowed their heads, they sang, they played music before the Lord. And as I said before, throughout the Psalms, David was very, he was the one a lot of it was recorded, and I think he was very instrumental in time and again bringing singing and music and this into worship as they worship before God. Throughout history, people have expressed their worship to the Lord through music. There's something about words set to a tune that allows us to express our worship with words and emotion in ways that just words alone do not allow us to do. I can stand up here and preach, and I can tell you something, but there's something powerful, and I believe it's just God created in us, that when we set words to tune, to music, that we can remember it better. It's more emotional. We can connect with it more. And I think that's a beautiful thing when it comes before the Lord. There can be the whole negative side of that, the emotions and what music has. We have to recognize this morning that music has power. And it can have power in a good way, and it can have power in a negative way. And this morning, I think we can use music and singing in a very powerful way as we worship our Lord. Music is not the only way that we can express our worship this morning. We don't just gather together here in the house of God and only sing. If that was the only way of worshiping, then we should be singing all morning long. Another way, we'll see in Luke chapter 2. You can turn there as well. Luke chapter 2. And the second point, we can worship through prayer. Luke 2, verses 36 and 37. Here is a lady that was an example of this. And there was one Anna, a prophet, the daughter of Phineal, the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, and she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 40 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. So here was a lady that just stayed in the temple. I'm not sure what she all did there, except we know that she fasted and prayed in the temple daily. She was just there, I believe, worshiping God, and maybe in some ways helping with the other parts of the worship. We don't know exactly what she all did. But it's very clear that prayer is part of worship, and it needs to be part of our worship. When we pray, we are worshiping the Lord. When we pray, we're basically saying, Lord, you're the one who has the ability to help me. I need your help. You're the one who is all-powerful. We recognize God for who he is. We recognize that there's no other place that I can turn to. You are the one who gives me the strength, the power that I need. You're the one that loves me. You're the one that gave your son to die for me. You're the one that has cleansed me from my sins. And in the Psalms, if it is not a song, back in Psalms written by David or others there, it is often a prayer of worship. There's some that are prayers and there's some that are songs. It is calling out to God for help or to acknowledge him that he is the one who can help. When we worship, we are worshiping when we pray. And so that's part of what we do here this morning. We do it maybe a little more extensively on some Wednesday nights. So I think if we come on a Wednesday night and we have a prayer and a praise, a singing and prayer, the whole service is definitely very biblical worship. And this morning we gather together and we pray and we worship in that way too. Now, we ask God for as on a personal level too, we can pray, and I believe that is worship, and we can also acknowledge that God is the giver of everything, but very quickly, one of the negatives of prayer and worship, and that I think it can stray from the thing of worship, is if we're just asking for selfish things or things that we want God to give into our lives, and Lord, can I have this? Lord, can you help me out in this area? And I sometimes fall into that trap where my prayers are all about what the Lord can do for me and not so much acknowledging Him for who He is. And I think that can be a little bit of a detriment on a level of worship there. By asking God for things, it can be a way of acknowledging that He is the giver of all good things. And so there is a side of that as well. But just so we don't fall into that ditch that we're acknowledging Him with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. Another way we can worship, I believe, is through sacrifice. Now, we know that the Old Testament was full of sacrifice. And we know that the New Testament has done away with the sacrificial system of offering animals, of shedding blood. That was just a way of covering sins. We know that. But yet I believe that the idea and the mentality for us as Christians has not been completely removed. The idea of sacrificing. We know how the children of Israel had to bring lambs. They were commanded to bring things before God and to give them to Him. And it hurt. It was a lamb out of their flock. It was a bullock out of their flock. It was the first fruits of their harvest that was given and that the Levites would live off of. And so the Lord was teaching them about giving. The Lord was teaching them about sacrificing, that not everything is just for our own consumption. And Isaiah 19:21 says, "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and obligation, and yea, they shall vow unto the Lord and perform it." Again, the thought of the thought of sacrificing before the Lord. But for us as Christians today, living in 2023, when we sacrifice maybe our time, maybe our money, maybe what we want to do, we give that up, something that is precious to us, something that is of value to us, we give that up before the Lord. I believe that is an act of worship. And it's an action that we can do that shows that we honor, we spread respect, we thank God for who He is. We realize that it is not just us, but we are worshiping Him through a sacrifice. Especially as we give back a portion to the Lord, it is worship. How do you know if this is worship or not? Well, I think it's one of the areas where we can easily go through the rituals of giving up things, especially maybe giving up of our money, and not yet our mind and heart can be far from the reason we're doing that. Or when you're giving, so let's just say, I believe very strongly this morning that when we lift an offering here this morning, that can be very much a part of our sacrificial worship this morning. But if you're just putting in the offering plate and thinking about what you're going to get back from it, you're going to get school, a Christian day school back from it. You're going to get the lights on this morning. Or we're going to get air conditioning on this morning. And if I have a big catastrophe in my life, the Brotherhood Assistance will step in and help. And so I'll give in the offering because these all will come back to me and they're going to help me out. If that is our thought and our mentality, then I would tend to think that that is a ditch where we fall into, that this worship of sacrifice comes short. It's an action we can go through, but we're not actually doing it out of a heart. But if we're doing it out of a heart of love for the brotherhood, a heart of love for what God has done, that we freely give, we realize that God is calling us to give our first fruits to Him. He deserves what is best from us. We're to give off of the top. then I think it can be part of our worship, and it's something that we do here every Sunday morning. But if we're thinking, why do I have to give so much? Or if we even think, well, how much do I actually have to give today? I think we hinder the blessing of worship there. We need to thank the Lord for his incredible blessing and delight giving a portion back to him. Let's turn to an Old Testament story on this, and that's back to Genesis chapter 4. And I think this combines the Old Testament commandments that were given there, along with a very something that is very still alive in the hearts of many of us today, at least it can be in my own life as well. And Cain, it's about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Cain and to his offering. I'm sorry, unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And we know how the story goes from there. I'm going to stop reading, and how eventually Cain went and killed his brother Abel because of the anger that was going on in his own life. We see here that both people brought an offering before the Lord. It says that Cain brought some fruit. And there's different ways we can look at this passage, and I don't fully understand it, but it does seem that he did bring something. Both brought from something. It does not say that he bought the best or the first. Maybe this was just some old fruit or something that was left over that he had lying around. And so he just thought, well, he'll give that to God. It's, you know, I don't need it anymore. And in doing that, that definitely was not an act of worship. Whatever he did here, God did not accept that offering or that sacrifice. And so we see this morning that we too can bring a sacrifice and it not be accepted as worship before the Lord. Maybe he was doing it grudgingly. We know the spirit that was inside of Cain. I mean, when he was reprimanded by God, he very quickly it rose up and he took action upon it, even killed his brother out of it. And so we know that he was probably not out of a heart of love or gratitude for all that God had done. But yet he did bring something, but it was not accepted. The question that I have for us this morning is, are you worshiping God by your sacrifice and by your giving? Or are we just giving him what is left over this morning? Or are we doing it out of heart of gladness? The Old Testament was very clear that tithe meant a 10%. And they were required to do that. And there was times that people, well, if they did not do that, there was a whole list of judgments that would come upon them. And they paid dearly for not giving to the Lord. But we need to worship God out of a heart of giving. And it needs to be part of a sacrificial life. Giving up our precious time, our precious money, things that are valuable to us, can be of worship to God. Right along with that, hand in hand, is we worship through service. And we can express our worship through service. And there are many Greek words, Greek and Hebrew words, that are translated either service or worship. They're, if you go through the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, there's a lot of words that are translated either way. So they're very much hand in hand with each other, or can mean the same thing. By serving God, we are worshiping God. The question we have this morning, are you serving the Lord? If you're serving the Lord, if you're doing what he wants, what he asks of you, then you are worshiping him. We can serve in various ways, but serving almost always involves others. We serve God by serving others. We serve here at church. We serve our neighbors. We can serve through our work. We need to make sure that we have a service mentality if we're wanting to fully, or if we want to be, it's a way that we, and I would say fully worshiping the Lord. And so that's where we take this idea of worship. We take it outside of this building. We take it outside of this day. We take it outside of your personal devotions to actually your whole life. Every day, every part of your day, if you have this idea of service, serving others, then that is worship to God. And that applies to your work from morning till evening. That applies as you're living with your family. It applies just to a lot of different areas as you're with your friends. If you can serve others, it can be a part of worship. Also, we worship through obedience. Turn in your Bibles a while to Romans chapter 12. Only one verse here, but it's very fitting, I think. Romans 12, verse 1. And this is in the chapter, the very beginning verse of the chapter in my Bible, labeled Christian Conduct. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is your reasonable worship. You remember how I said there's various words that can be translated either service or worship. And that links the thought of present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. I talked about the sacrificial living and going hand in hand with obedience. The offering of your body is giving yourself completely to God and doing what he wants you to do this morning. I think we understand the idea of obedience. We understand that God has commandments for us. God has requirements for his people as Christians. And some of the things, when it comes down to practical everyday living, become a little bit maybe more difficult to know where the lines are. But there's definitely lines that God has put in place in his scripture. And we know that we need to obey that. And when we submit ourselves to that, we are giving worship and honor to God for who he is. We are recognizing that he is high and holy, as was said in our Sunday school class, by just obeying him. We are understanding that he has authority over my life. And by obeying him, by acknowledging that, it is worshiping him. It is putting him in his proper place. God may ask us sometimes to do things that are hard or things that we do not understand. Turn back to Genesis 22, to an Old Testament story of a man who, I believe that his very life that he was living, this obedience to God, was worship from the very beginning of this story to the end. And this is Genesis 22 in verse 3. And this is the story of Abraham. And we know how that God commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac, something that did not make sense, something that was very difficult. We knew that he had been promised a multitude of generations would come after him, but like the sand of the sea. And here his only son, God was telling him to go and sacrifice in verse 3. Even after he knew what was at store, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which the Lord had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I'll stop reading there. The story goes on. It's a story that we knew from very young as children, and it's just a beautiful story. But I believe this morning that Abraham's worship to God did not start only when he built the altar and he sacrificed the ram that the Lord had given to him. His worship to God, or God was pleased with his life. God knew that Abraham honored him, that he accepted him, he obeyed him from the very time that Abraham said, or that when God gave him this requirement, and Abraham started out, rose up in the early in the morning, and he did exactly what God said. From the very beginning of that day until the end, or until the following days when the sacrifice was given, because of his obedience to God, the whole time was a time of worship to him. He was giving God, acknowledging that God was in control of his life. And even though he did not understand, even though the things were hard, he still followed through with it. He says, we will worship, we will obey the Lord, we will trust in him, even if he does not understand. In conclusion, we see in the end, we see that there are many ways that we can worship and express worship to the Lord. And I did not touch them all. I feel like in some ways, there are things that maybe I need a part two on this. Because the reading of the word publicly, like we're doing this morning, I believe is a part of worship. One of the verses also alluded to the part of fasting as being a part of worship. And there's probably more that we could continue to look at. But these things, I believe, are things of importance that need to be in every Christian's life this morning. And we also see that we can be doing them, but be getting into the ditch and not doing each one of them correctly. And we can be going through the motions, but yet our heart can be far from God. And so we need to look at our own lives this morning. We need to, is it coming from a heart of love and a heart of acceptance of who God is and who God is working through us? Yes, we benefit from each of these things, but our heart's focus needs to be on the Lord in all of our living. It needs to be in all areas of our lives in order to have true worship. We cannot just expect to come through the doors here this morning from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock and worship the Lord. John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. If you truly want to worship God Almighty, then we need to start by honoring his Son, doing what he has asked of us, doing what is written here in God's Word. We need to worship through the different points that I said this morning, through song, through prayer, through sacrifice, through serving, and most of all, through obedience, which is an all-encompassing of all those others. And may we apply that to our lives as we go from here today, and we start our Monday morning, tomorrow morning, and the weeks ahead, to remember that every hour, every minute of our day needs to be involved in worship. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.